The gospel lesson this morning is from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 23 to chapter 5, verse 3. It's found on page 958 in the Pew Bible if you would like to follow along. If you're able, would you please stand for the gospel reading? Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 23 through chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As you have seen, heard in the announcements, for the next 7 weeks, we will unlock the secret of the blessed life as we reflect upon the teachings of Jesus on the mountain, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And just so we know that the Sermon on the Mount is the core of Jesus' message. The part that we are reflecting on, called the Beatitude, is like the cream of the crop, like the jelly of the donut. That's kind of the core of who Jesus is and what Jesus has come to teach us. And so as we reflect on these, on the Beatitudes, and as we hear how Jesus lays out for us the life we are called to live, may the Holy Spirit minister to us and help us to experience God's kingdom in our midst. Let us bow our heads in prayer. We thank you, O Lord, for always reaching out to us, speaking to us, your words of life, your words of truth. Help us to hear, help us to see, help us to understand that these words that you spoke on the mountain so long ago will become for us words of life, words of power, words of strength in our lives today. We thank you for your presence here with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The word beatitude means a state of blessedness or happiness. The biblical language makes the words blessed and happy virtually interchangeable. When you hear the word blessed or the happy, the kind of happiness that Jesus is talking about here goes beyond the superficial contentment that flutters in and out of our lives depending on what's happening, whether things are going well, whether we are getting what we want. As he begins his Sermon on the Mount, the first step to be blessed or be happy, Jesus says, is to be poor in spirit. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He says, we'll be happy if we are poor in spirit. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Poor in spirit means acknowledging or admitting our need for God in our lives, that we are not as self-sufficient as we think we are, that we do not have the control over our lives as we would like to believe. In short, poor in spirit means being vulnerable before God, letting God know, here am I, warts and all, with my shortcomings and all, and I need you. See, this is what we are like. When our daughter Emily was 2 years old, and she was going through the terrible twos, always saying no. I mean, that little pint-sized girl would always say no, no. She had that false sense of self-sufficiency, thinking that she can do it all by herself, that she wanted to do it all by herself, that she can make it all by herself. So one day we're going out and she's putting her sneakers on. Of course she can't put it on. You know, her fingers are not strong enough. Her coordination is just not there to put her feet in, to pull the sneakers up, and shoelaces? Oh, forget it. She hasn't even gone that far yet. And so she's trying to put her shoes on, getting ready to go. And I ask her, can mommy help you? And what is her answer? No. So, okay, we'll give her a couple minutes, you know, a couple more minutes for her to struggle with. All the while I'm looking at my watch, it's like, okay, we need to hurry. We're going to be late. A few minutes later, I ask her again, can mommy help you? No. And she still hasn't gotten even one foot in the sneaker yet. You know, it's not just a two-year-old who does that, but oftentimes we find ourselves doing exactly the same thing in our lives. And God is right next to us asking us, can I help you? And we go, no, no, I got it, I'm good, all the while struggling. Jesus showed throughout his ministry what it means to be poor in spirit. Even as the Son of God, he modeled complete dependency on God. He claimed no power of his own, no word or wisdom to teach, to offer, but that of his Abba, Father. Jesus would say things like, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Or he said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus showed us the true meaning of poverty, of spirit, what it means to be poor in spirit through his dependence on God, God's grace, God's power, the source of all of our empowerment. Jesus demonstrated that his strength and transforming power in his ministry came from his dependence on God as he willingly surrendered his will to God. See, the reality is that we are not complete without God. Because when God created us, He breathed into our nostrils His breath, His spirit. Someone remarked that every human being contains a God-shaped void in our heart that only God can fill. That we are not complete in and out of ourselves as long as we have that void in our heart, until that void is filled by God. We are incomplete and restless. You see that picture on the glass. What is that picture of? What is that picture of? Yeah, the deer. The deer, right? That's from the psalm. As the deer longs for the water, so my soul longs after you. That's the poor in spirit that Jesus is talking about. The deer is experiencing the thirst that drives him to the watering hole, that he has to come twice a day. Because if he doesn't get a drink, what happens to the deer? When Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor in spirit," what Jesus is saying is, "Blessed are you those who are recognizing that thirst and hunger for God, and who is willing to come before God and say, I am thirsting for you. I need you. I need you in my life. I need you in my thoughts. I need you to be with me every moment. I need you to be with me in this situation. I need you to be with me in my family so that there is love, or so that I know I have, you are taking care of me, so that I know that there is healing." You know, we live in a culture where we are fiercely independent. From very young age, we've been taught independence is good. That you need to be independent. You should be independent. I'm not saying independence is bad. It is good. However, that sense of independence has also lured us into this false sense of security or independence, thinking that we can do everything, that we are in control. And the more we live, we know that that is not true. We are not in control. We can't even control what's happening in our bodies. Did you realize if we had to control the way we breathe, none of us would be alive? See, we breathe, as human beings, we breathe about 16 to 22 times every minute. And if we had to control, you have to think about breathing every so often. We can't do anything. We can't even sleep. Because, oh my goodness, while we're sleeping, if we forget to breathe, we won't wake up in the morning. Blinking our eyes. Do you know what a blessing it is that we can blink our eyes? If we stop blinking even just for 5 minutes, do you know how painful our eyes get as it dries? And then, you know, I don't even have to go there, right? We think we are self-sufficient. We think we can control our lives. We think we got everything. Jesus is reminding us, blessed are you who are poor in spirit, who recognize our own limits, who recognize our insufficiency, who recognize our need for God. And recognizing how vulnerable we are and coming before God, he says, then we have the kingdom of God. Because when we come before the Lord saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I am so desperately thirsty for you. And when we come, God reaches out to us, holds us, connects with us, and then we receive God's presence, God's gift, God's grace. We are filled with God's power, and that's why Jesus says, then we can be happy. We are blessed. Today is the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. As we remember, as we grieve for what happened 15 years ago, we know what that event has done to the psyche of everyone in the United States. It shook us to the core. We thought we were safe. We thought we had the security. That event is significant in that it changed our perception of security, safety, and it let us know that we are no longer safe. In a way, it is an occasion for us to take a look at our lives, look at our world, and once again recognize how much we need God in our lives, in our world. So, where do you need God in your life? In what areas of your life are you thirsting after God? Do you need God in your family? Do you need God in your heart as you are experiencing the fear of insecurity, future? Where in your life do you need God? And in what ways are you willing to be honest before God and letting God know that you need God? So that God is invited into your life to journey with you each day, to give you the strength when you need, to hold you when you're afraid, and to be with you every moment. Blessed are you who are poor in spirit, who recognize the lack in their lives, and who comes to the Lord asking for God in your life. And the kingdom of God will be yours. Amen.